This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Welcome to Sports Saturday, the final Saturday in March. And Sean, when we came on to the program last week, we talked about how great the weather was for that first week of baseball and softball. This week was the exact opposite. This is the type of week that athletic directors dread in the springtime.
Yeah, it's like running an airport. you might as well just have a, you know, like, we'll have an office at the county courthouse, the historic courthouse, the office of sports, and it will look like the airport. Flight delayed, game rescheduled, game canceled. It's no fun.
And, you know, with what we've been through with the COVID the last couple of years, on some level, maybe it's kind of nice to have the weather being the driving force for cancellations instead of all the other stuff we've seen over the last years.
Oh, no doubt about it. You'll take that over pandemic and so-and-so is in quarantine. And, yeah, raindrops, that's a little easier to reconcile.
And, John, this spring season, to me, this kind of feels like the first – full sports season on the other side, right? Like even in the fall, there were still a few more restrictions and things going on in schools and whatnot related to COVID. But now this seems like the first season where it's like, this is almost normal.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe it's been that long. I mean, you know, you start thinking that, you know, we hadn't crossed, you know, the 2-0 thing in the years on the back end. And you have to go back to 19, which, you know, wasn't forever ago, but
seems like it.
Yeah, you start thinking, you know, like we're chugging along in 2022, and like, yeah, it really is. Like it's sometimes it seems like it's been forever, and other times, wow, has it been that long?
So coming up on the program today, we're going to talk with Litchfield baseball coach Connor White, going to talk with Gillespie softball coach Michelle Smith and Hillsborough girls soccer coach Dave Mattson. That's all on the way here on Sports Saturday for you this morning. Cardinal baseball today, 11:55 with the pregame coverage over on WQSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. And Sean, it would have been nice, would have been real nice if we would have had some Illini NCAA basketball for you coming up on the Ox this weekend. But of course, that did not happen, but the team that beat Illinois is still alive in the big dance. And if you saw plumes of smoke the last few days, it was brackets going up, Sean. Gonzaga out, Arizona out, and I hate to say it, my friend, but last night your champions, Purdue, out.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this St. Peter's thing is the craziest. I mean, people, you know, are asking where they're from, where are they from? What conference are they in? I mean, it's mind-boggling.
It's what makes the tournament the tournament.
Yeah, you got a guy in there. You got the one kid looks like Ron Burgundy. he looks like a short Ron Burgundy with that big puffy hair and the stash to end all stashes. And, you know, it's just it almost looks like a team made for a movie. Like it's like semi-pro too with Will Ferrell. I mean, it just doesn't even seem real watching them beat a Big Ten team. And now they're going to take on UNC.
Well, and you know, Sean, normally like, you know, the Cinderella stories, they're cute in the opening weekend. They usually fizzle out in the round of 32 and maybe you get to the second weekend, but that's it. But you look at this St. Peter's team. Why can't they win the whole thing? It's been a crazy year in college basketball. Three number one seeds are already out. They've already beaten Kentucky. They beat Purdue, who was ranked number one in the country earlier this year. You mentioned they got Carolina coming up. They're not going to be scared of North Carolina. You've beaten Kentucky. You've beaten Purdue. Why can't you beat North Carolina?
I'm telling you, you know, in college basketball was due for this. Oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that quaint? Like you get an upset in the first or second round. But the thing that really built the tournament, I think the thing that really excited people and separated it from the other sporting events was the little guy can win. I mean, when Jim Valvano and NC State took it all, I mean, everybody was enthralled. And it's like, can they do it another game? And then Raleigh Massimino when Villanova was, you know, Vanilla Nova. I mean, to take them all the way. And those championships in the early 80s just really sparked the imagination. And, you know, did something you couldn't have like in the Super Bowl or World Series, especially in those times when you didn't have wild cards and you didn't have half the teams in the playoffs. So it really, I think, really expanded the interest in the tournament in the Final Four. And now we finally have a team that, well, they have less of a resume than those teams by a long shot.
Yeah, but, I mean, the greatest of all Cinderellas, the only 15 seed to make it this far, and we'll see if they can keep the good times rolling. And, you know, that's the positive, a story like St. Peter's. And then, Sean, you get to the Big Ten Conference as a whole, and you get nine teams in, and you don't get a single one past the Sweet 16. That is a massive embarrassment, and I'm afraid it will be a stain on the Big Ten moving forward. When they talk about how many bids does the league deserve, that's not a good look. The ACC, which was maligned all year long, they got three teams in the Elite Eight. The Big Ten, supposedly the greatest league in the land, 0 out of 9. Yikes.
As they said, what was it, Animal House? 0.0. You're done. You're through. I'm reporting you to the draft board. Unbelievable. Not that I'm making light of the draft and that era, but just the movie aspect.
Well, that's right.
It really is. It is tough. And I thought the Big Ten was going to dominate. I know that's always a risky position to take, but I just thought, I looked at this field and thought, yeah, they've got the toughness, they've got the grit. I thought Michigan was going to surprise people, and they did for a while. But
you look at a team like Illinois, they have too many stretches where they can't score the basketball. And, you know, in Big Ten play, you get into those heavyweight kind of slugfest types of games, but then when you get these different styles in the NCAA tournament, that slugfest that suits all these big teams so well in conference play, it almost starts to work against them in the tournament.
Yeah, and it's almost like, it's like warfare. Take out the battleship, and, you're making big advances, like when the Brits sunk the Bismarck. I mean, that's kind of a flaky analogy. But, you know, double up on Kofi, beat him up a little bit, get him to get a couple of fouls called on him, and you can split the fouls among your big men, and he gets frustrated, and it really seems to throw the team off course.
And it's a shame.
I mean, if the guards are hitting their shots, you're in, if you get a couple of guards get hot, you're okay, but that's got to happen.
You think about the great year they had, and it was a great year until the end. You know, and unfortunately, I think, Sean, maybe you disagree, but this Illini season is going to be remembered for the last three games, and very little before that is going to be recalled years from now, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is, this was kind of a...
When you stack it on last year being the one seed and getting bounced in the second round, and then the way they closed out this year, not good.
No, it was a really flaky team. It really was. I mean, it was a fun season, but man, I'll tell you what, not a team I'd bet the house on. They were just, there are teams that have off nights, but just sometimes they just look so ordinary. They look like they had a talent deficit, and then they'd find another gear, and it's like, I couldn't put a finger on how good that team was.
No, they were hard to figure all year long, and they will look a lot different next year. So, we'll see how the Elite Eight unfolds today, of course. Final Four will be a week from today. Couple of local notes here, Sean. Big day for Aaron Duff, Mike Parmentier, and Bill Reed as they are going in to the Illinois High School Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame. The induction ceremony is today for those three gentlemen, and that will be a fun day with some wonderful stories, I'm sure, that will be exchanged.
Oh, those are the best. I mean, and that's one of the things, what I hate to see. And fortunately, we have sports writers here with some perspective and some institutional knowledge. That's what I love when you get like the guy who's been a sports writer for 20, 30, 40 years, and they get up during that banquet circuit and the Hall of Fame circuit. And you get some of those guys with that Hall of Fame where you're still going to get that. And you love hearing the old war stories. And it's not just the championships, but, you get great stories out of the tough seasons. And, you just can't imagine the impact they've had on young people, not just on the court or on the field, but in life.
And when you, yeah, you're right. And when you talk to coaches that are retired, when they look back on it, it's the relationships that they remember, not so much the wins and the losses. Obviously, those stand out. But you can always hear the pride in coaches' voices when they talk about former players, what they're doing post-high school, still keeping in contact with them. Those are the types of relationships that all coaches, not just the ones who wind up in the Hall of Fame, cherish. But when you get to the Hall of Fame, that is just obviously the cherry on top of the coaching sundae. So Aaron Duff, Mike Parmentier, Bill Reed, enjoy it today up in Champaign. Tomorrow they will have the Carthageville Rotary Club All-Star Basketball Classic. That'll be at the Big House on West Main in Carthageville. Girls All-Star Game at 3, Boys All-Star Game at 6. You'll have a girls three-point contest at 3 o'clock, the boys three-point contest in between the two games, and then the dunk contest at halftime of the boys game. And Sean, I did not get an invite to participate in the dunk contest. Evidently, a requirement is you have to actually be able to dunk on a 10-foot rim. So I just missed by a couple of feet.
Yeah, I was the king of the 8-foot rim. Now I think I'll settle for 7.
That's right.
I think I can get on my tippy toes. And
almost
pull that
got a full piece of paper between your feet and the floor.
Yeah, my vertical skills were never impressive.
Nor mine. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Litchfield baseball coach Connor White when Sports Saturday rolls on. We're going to catch up with Litchfield baseball coach Connor White here in just a moment. Hillsboro girls soccer coach Dave Mattson on the way, and Gillespie softball coach Michelle Smith all coming up here on Sports Saturday here on WQSMI. Hey, Cameron Crowe, he's going to have a monster track and field season for the Litchfield Purple Panthers. Finished second in the 400 meters at the top time championships yesterday at Illinois Wesleyan. Came in fourth in the high jump. And that will be a name, Sean, to keep in mind. Cameron Crowe, he is a special, special talent.
I'm telling you, you know, it's a big name to live up to. I mean, it's an iconic American name. Now it's iconic locally in athletics. And that will be an easy one to remember.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. The kickoff classic for girls soccer will wrap up today. All the games will be played in Carthageville, as they had games at Carthageville and North Mac throughout this tournament, all on the turf. But they wrap it up today all at Carthageville. North Mac, Gillespie underway right now for 7th place. Staunton and Lincoln will play for 5th place at 11 o'clock. Carthageville and Auburn will play for 3rd place at 1 o'clock. In the championship this afternoon, 3 o'clock at Carthageville, we'll have Greenville taking on Pleasant Plains. So girls soccer, they had a little better week in terms of getting their contest played than the baseball and softball, that it was just not a good week at all for baseball and softball across the area. And a man who knows all about it, Litchfield baseball coach Connor White, joins us this morning on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Connor.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
Hey, doing good. Now, originally, we were going to do this interview recorded on Friday because you were going to have a game today, be getting the field ready for play. Unfortunately for you, we're talking live because this was just a brutal week in terms of the rain. Talk about, from a baseball coach's perspective, when you look at the weather forecast and see a stretch of days like we had this week. Oh, boy.
It's definitely, with any really outside sport that involves a little bit of dirt on your field, it was not looking good. I think we totaled 4 games getting canceled this week. You know, we had hopes to play each one, but as the rain just never let up, you know, that the weather had different stories for us. You know, pretty good amount of standing water on there, so any additional rain as the week went on, just chances kept going down and down as the week went on.
Diamond dry can only do so much.
Right, correct.
I'll tell you, Coach, when you have to smash the schedule together with all those rainouts, you have to really appreciate the numbers you had come out this year. Pretty stuffed roster.
Yes, I was happy with the amount of players we had come out this year. A lot of returning guys, so I think that means, you know, they enjoy what I do. They appreciate what I do, so it's nice to have the returning guys. But then a lot of freshman kids coming out as well, so our JV team has a pretty good amount of players on it as well. So, yeah.
And Connor, you got the full season, obviously, last year in terms of games, but there were still a lot of different things going on COVID-related. This year, to me, feels as close to normal as we've been in a while in terms of a high school sporting season.
True, exactly, yeah. Last year, you know, you got a little bit later of a start here, so didn't get as many games. this year, you know, a lot of the stuff we've talked about at practices, hey, you know, this is a regular season kind of at this time with every baseball season, the first, you know, month or so, maybe month and a half, this is the kind of weather that you're dealing with. So rainouts shouldn't be unheard of or, you know, come as a surprise to anybody. But we're glad to have a full season. You know, stuff's getting back to, you know, a little bit of normalcy here. We're expecting a good season this year. Our coaching staff is very optimistic. We've seen a lot of improvements from last year, a lot of guys that, you know, are doing stuff better than they were last year at this point. So very, very optimistic about this season.
Well, I look at your roster, and certainly a lot of strong spots on the roster. And like Jacob Budd, you know, it's one thing to get hits and have a decent batting average, but I know those extra base hits are a real confidence builder. How has he progressed?
He has improved tremendously. Last year he was one of our main guys as well. This year he's taken a little bit more of the leadership role, and I think a lot of his hard work in the off season is very apparent and is showing tremendously here in this the beginning of the season. Hopefully that's rubbing off on some of the other guys of the team, and they're actually seeing, okay, if I do, you know, work hard in the off season, the first few weeks of the actual season, you know, won't be so hard on my arm, or my swing will be in good shape, and I'm actually in a full regular baseball season, you know, form of, you know, their physicalness.
Litchfield baseball coach Connor White joining us here on Sports Saturday. And coach, how's your pitching depth? How many guys are you going to be able to roll out there varsity level? It's like, this is our rotation.
We actually a lot more than I think some people would expect there. With us being inside, you know, a lot recently, we've actually seen a lot of guys throw a few bullpens. So if we ever get in a pinch late in the game, or, you know, this week we got, I believe, four games ahead of us, so a lot of guys are going to have to throw. Some guys that probably never expected to be on the mound, but with us being inside, it has been a little advantageous for us because we're able to see some guys throw a few bullpens and, you know, kind of work with them a little bit. That way we have to put them out there when we get in a pinch. They'll handle themselves okay. So our pitching staff is pretty deep, so I don't think we'll have any issues with that.
Well, I know part of that pitching depth discussion is Bryce Hires, and boy, what a great year he had with the bat last year. And I know hitting is it's something you never master, quote unquote, but it seems like it's a little easier to master than pitching is, I know, more of a long-term process. How's it coming along on both fronts for him?
Pretty good so far. He's made a lot of improvements from last year as well. He's matured a little bit. We haven't had a radar gun on him or anything like that, but you can definitely tell when he throws a bullpen versus when somebody else on the team throws a bullpen. You know, he's popping the mid a little bit. Him and Jacob Budd, you know, the ball pops off their bat a little bit better than other guys on the team. So definitely tell he was one that was putting in a lot of work in the off season as well. Even with Bryce playing basketball some of the nights where they didn't have basketball, you know, he was in working on his baseball stuff. So he was working hard to get himself ready for baseball season as well.
You know, Connor, you mentioned basketball, and boy, that boys basketball team this year, they really got a lot of enthusiasm churned up in the Litchfield community. And I would suspect for the kids that played basketball, they probably have a little extra pep in their step maybe coming in to the baseball season, because whenever you get a little bit of success, no matter what the sport is, it just feeds you and you want to keep it moving.
Exactly. That's something we talked about at the beginning of the season, right when stuff got started. You know, hey, basketball season had a pretty good year. They won a lot of games, you know, as opposed to the previous year. And let's carry that energy into baseball season. You know, kids get a lot happier when obviously they start winning some games. So hopefully that does translate into the baseball season, yes.
Coach, I know scoreboards don't win games, but how excited are the kids to have that big, beautiful purple monster out there, courtesy of the good folks over at Nevco across the way over in Greenville?
Yeah, that's something we've talked about too as well when we're out there, when we've actually been able to be on the baseball field. You know, I said, not to use this as a negative thing, but I said, treat that like a target. Let's see how many lights we can put out in that scoreboard. I said, nobody can be too mad at that. I guess if we're hitting balls off the scoreboard, I guess that means a good thing, as long as it's us and not the other team, though.
Yeah, that's right. Connor White, the Litchfield baseball coach, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And, Connor, obviously when it comes to high school baseball, You got to be able to feel that. You can't give teams extra outs. And how much of a challenge is that when you don't get a lot of outdoor full infield work leading up into the games?
You know, you hit it right on the nose. Giving the team extra outs, and that's something one of our assistant coaches, Steve Ahern, that's something he preaches a lot, is limiting the amount of extra outs we give when we're on defense there. Yeah, we've been stuck inside, but the place we've been practicing at, we've been doing a lot of ground balls. And, you know, it's not the same as being out on a grass and, you know, dirt field or just simply being outside, but we're making the most of it inside. The more repetitions inside you get, hopefully, you know, when we get outside, it just becomes a little bit easier for the guys. So we're taking advantage of just being inside and kind of breaking things down to a little simpler terms there. And hopefully that just bodes well for us when we actually do get to practice outside again.
Well, and you're going to get to play outside on Monday because you'll be on the turf at North Mac. There's no rain in the forecast. So it's got to be nice to know we're going to play on Monday.
Yes, that's something we talked about the last few days. Say, hey, you know, these games coming up here aren't looking too good last week, but definitely next week we've got North Mac on Monday, and then later in the week we've got SHG on Saturday, and, you know, they got the all-turf field there. Right. So we're, as long as, you know, rain doesn't just pop up out of anywhere, we should get at least two games in out of the four.
Sounds good. We'll have your game Monday against North Mac live on the radio here on FM 106.1 and online at WQSMIRadio.com. Connor White, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. We look forward to following the Purple Panthers throughout the year.
Yep, thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, that is Connor White, the head baseball coach at Litchfield. And, Sean, he's young, and you kind of get the sense kind of with the basketball program, they got the right guy in charge of the program here.
I'm telling you, yeah, when you have 25 kids come out for a team and you hear that about the freshmen and they're invested, numbers speak volumes. You're building energy in the student population. And, I mean, that's the ultimate referendum. Wins and losses certainly are a big thing, and there are teams that, you know, they're getting the wins, but they worry. You know, boy, we're one or two injuries away from being a much different team. When you get depth and interest, that says a lot.
And, you know, Litchfield, they got a chance here because their spring sports traditionally have been very solid. We know what they're going to do with track and field. The baseball program headed the right direction. And maybe for the first time in a while here, Sean, a chance to really build some good momentum moving into the summer for the Litchfield sports department.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. They really do. That's the greatest thing about not having one sport athletes. You know, you see it in other places, and there are people who push back against that. We are not the home of the one sport athlete, and I think that's great because, yeah, one feeds another, the enthusiasm. And again, you know, it's harder than a generation ago to get kids to go to games, what have you. And I realize that baseball's never been the big, you know, monster spectator sport, even though, boy, we get some of the best spectator numbers I've ever seen in this area when it comes to baseball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll have our first broadcast on the air Monday, Litchfield at North Mac Baseball, live at 420 here on WQSMI FM 106.1 online at WQSMIRadio.com. Going to switch gears now, talk girls soccer with Hillsborough coach Dave Mattson. Dave, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. Didn't blow away, I guess, over the last couple of days. That's good.
No, not bad.
And, you know,
maybe even some of that wet blew away, though.
Oh, that'd be nice. And, you know, there was definitely more soccer matches that got played this past week than baseball and softball. But, my goodness, when it's windy like it has been yesterday and today, playing the game is one thing. Trying to play it well is another.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, no, that's a good point because it's a mess. But we play on.
Yeah, just play. The field's dry, but, I mean, wind and soccer, those don't really mesh.
Yes, it can get ugly.
Well, I'll tell you what, Coach, I look at your roster, and I just think it's, you know, if you think in terms of not just the here and now, but the here and tomorrow, boy, it's just a roster that's not only prepared to do great things today, but, boy, when you have a junior-dominated club, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's a group that, you know, they've been playing all of those kids have been playing together since they were little, and it's fun to see them at high school now. And I'm excited to see.
Well, Dave, it's one of those things too, especially in soccer, when you've got a group of kids that has played that much together. It's basically like 11 people operating as one.
Yeah, no, that's what you'd hope for. They know what kind of runs each other are going to make, what kind of balls. You know, one thing I really talk to my girls about is knowing your teammates' games, and so that you can know what to trust and what you have to prepare for in terms of going for 50-50 balls and things like that. And so when they've seen, you know, the speed and the skill on their teammates for so long, and they understand, hey, I don't have to go for that ball, I know that girl can go get it, then they can go set up somewhere else.
Well, you know, I talked about the experience and having juniors and having youth on the team. It's got to be nice to see, you know, freshmen and sophomores get valuable time in and even wind up on the scoreboard.
Yes. Now, of course, these first couple games, you know, things are all a little bit different. But, no, that is true. And the freshmen, I think I've got 9 freshmen in, and they're you know, they're a class that, you know, as I've been talking to them individually, I've basically said probably another year you'd be seeing some more varsity time. But when you've got 10 juniors and, you know, sophomores and seniors also, then they might not see as much time as they would. So one thing we're trying to do is set up some just JV-only games, even with, you know, like Alton High School, JV and triad, freshman team, and things like that. We're setting up a couple of extra games for our JV just to make sure that they're getting the time.
And they, when you've got those types of numbers, those freshmen, they're getting good run in practice against that junior group.
That's right. Not to mention, man, you play a varsity JV scrimmage in practice, and then all of a sudden that varsity has to work hard to compete in that scrimmage against some good freshman and sophomore team.
And the varsity never wants to lose the JV scrimmage.
Oh, no.
Well, I know recruiting starts locally, and certainly that's a factor. But just, 25 years of Women's World Cup players being not just players who've excelled, but celebrities, so to speak. How much has that helped you as far as having them be your idols, whether it's the Mia Hamms, the Hope Solos, or the more contemporary figures out there, you know, Brandi Chastain, whatever the case may be. And I know I'm missing some of the
How old do you think these high school girls are, Sean?
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, I'm telling you.
Maybe Carly Lloyd, perhaps? I don't know.
What? Yeah, thank you. I'm a fossil. What can I say?
But, no, you know, Dave, there is a lot to be said for that, isn't there?
Yeah, that certainly helps. It's a little bit tricky because, you know, as I actually talk to most of the girls, not a lot of them are watching very much soccer. I think that's, you know, across the board is my guess, you know, that there's, you know, they watch some and we watch together a little bit here and there. But I think you're right, just being, you know, having that awareness. And I think it extends not only to the girls, but the communities in general. Like, you know, if you think about, you know, I've thought about sort of the long-term arc of soccer in, say, Hillsborough. You know, the parents of youth players now are the first generation that played in high school, you know, in Hillsborough. So all of a sudden, you know, now you've got families who know the game, who can coach, you know, third graders, and that really helps build over the course of, you know, 10, 20 years. Whereas if you're, you know, sorry, but 15 years ago, you had soccer coaches who, hey, they were doing the best they can, but they didn't play when they were young. And so, you know, they were making it up as they go along. So I think that's really helpful too. And so obviously having more, you know, to be honest, I didn't even know the World Cup was a thing until I was an adult. So, you know, men or women. And so, you know, just the fact that there's more awareness among the whole, you know, the whole community builds into, hey, soccer is a real thing, and it's actually kind of fun to watch.
And it's been
I knew
great.
Mia would be relevant to this conversation.
That's right.
Somewhere along the way. Back to you.
It's been great to see the growth of soccer here over the last number of years, Dave, because it was always, you know, baseball and soccer for kids five and under. Those were the sports. And then somewhere along the line, kids just stopped playing soccer. That has switched now. The kids that are playing in those youth leagues, they're continuing to play all the way through high school.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, in Hillsboro, I just think back on some of the guys who have really just spent so much time building it, you know, the youth program, like Fred Butler and Jim White and Matt Lentz. I mean, the success we're having really starts with what all of those people did, you know, 10 years ago in terms of building the youth program. And that's really been excellent.
Well, I know Schreiber not only produces numbers, but I imagine you really call upon for leadership with the club.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We lost a couple defenders that were really important to us last year. And looking around, that was one of our spots that, man, for the last 9 months, I've been racking my brain. What am I going to do about those defense spots? And at some point it occurred to me, hey, Abby could probably step in, and she did that actually in both games so far, just trying some different things with her speed and just her, you know, she cares so much about the team and about winning games. And so she's been back there, and for never playing defense in her life, she's really done a nice job. And so that really is a testimony to her maturity and leadership and just desire. And so it's nice to have some of those around.
Dave, final question for you. What's the week look like coming up for you guys?
So this is our Litchfield tournament week. So always on the busier side. We've got a couple of tournament games Monday, Friday against Auburn and Greenville at Litchfield as part of that tournament. And then the bracket playoff or championship games will be Saturday. And then, of course, we've got just a random, you know, Father McGivney game on Thursday. And from what I've seen, I think they're pretty good these days. So that'll be a good test. But it's always good to get some games that mean something, and maybe we can go win some hardware.
There you go. Yeah, take home the Panther Cup. That's right.
I sure hope so.
Dave Mattson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck to the Toppers.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's girls soccer coach at Hillsboro, Dave Mattson, and you heard him say the Panther Cup, that will begin on Monday at Litchfield.
And isn't that exciting, you know, when you think about the stuff that is happening in soccer, and I think this whole business of the regional soccer park in Litchfield, it's not just going to build excitement for soccer in Litchfield. I think it's going to be an incubator for excitement for, you know, all of the programs in the county to have that kind of venue. 8 fields, different sizes. It's really going to amp up the interest in the youth programs. Yeah, I think soccer's on the rise, and certainly Hillsboro is a big part of that, and I don't think it's not necessarily because of what happened in 1994.
Travis Matthews is smiling somewhere thinking about that soccer park. Yeah, as you were rattling off those guys, I thought, Sean, how old do you think these high school kids are? It's like, Mia Hamm, that's from my youth.
I'm out of touch. I don't have kids. I am Buck Rogers. But, you know, I'm in suspended animation out in space.
To that point, though, those women's national teams, you know, in the 90s, that was kind of the foundation for what we see in terms of women's soccer today, not just still in the national team level, but, you know, all the way down from college into the high school. That laid the groundwork for what we've seen here.
Oh, I'm telling you, it really did build something. They, you know, the Women's Pro League didn't take off that well. The initial one, I think they've put together something with a little more staying power. I think I think what they have going on now, it doesn't dominate television, but it certainly stuck around better than its predecessor. And yeah, you know, and I was doing some public address work there when they had that St. Louis Athletica, and loved watching Hope Solo, and to me it's like, you know, they found a great balance where, hey, you know what, we're having fun here. It's You know, it's like a female-centric experience. You don't apologize for being a woman out there, and you have fun, and it really seemed to celebrate everything that you'd want women's sports to be, and, you know, tough and gritty and everything else. And you, I mean, like, I wouldn't want to get on Hope Solo's bad side, I'll tell you that.
No way.
And, of course, just when you're at the stadium, you hear her bark out orders.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not messing with her.
That's right. And, you know, let's remember, it's been 50 years since Title IX as well, and we can't underscore enough how important that piece of legislation has been to women athletics here over the last 50 years.
Yeah, and you're seeing fewer schools mail it in, like, yeah, let's take this guy who wanted to be a coach, and here's a whistle. Go take care of that requirement, and just throw some girls together, put them out on the court. Yeah, you're seeing more youth programs and feeder programs, and I mean, look at how far basketball's come. I mean, we see the way they handle the basketball compared to 20 years ago, and just
no sports advanced more under Title IX than girls basketball.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's, it is really, it has become a unique game. And I think that's the thing, you know, and I hear this with, women's sports at the college level, sometimes they, WNBA and everything else. And sometimes they get into, you should be watching us and, almost like, I almost think like they have the wrong message. It's like, I like the coaches. I think like Pat Summitt, it's like, hey, we got a great game here. We love it. You're missing out. You know, that kind of attitude. Market the game, grow the game, and, go in that direction.
It's your loss if you don't take it in, you know?
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if, for instance, we've got to be in the big gym with college basketball. I think like with college basketball, I think they really had something going. Like when women's basketball, they were in Huff Gym and they'd play, I think, a game or two at Assembly Hall. It's like build it up gradually,
Right.
That's one thing. It's like you can't just treat it as a social justice issue or whatever you want to call it. You also got to think this is showbiz. Let's market the game in the best way we can. And, I think sometimes, it's like, hey, bragging rights game. Let's have Mizzou and Illinois women than the men. Let's partner. That doesn't make you less than or anything. But it's like start thinking in a show business way.
No doubt about it. He's Sean Belin. I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday. Need to get to a break here. When we come back, we will catch up with Gillespie softball coach Michelle Smith here on WSMI Sports Saturday. All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. We'll have Cardinal Baseball coming up for you this morning, 11:55 with the pregame coverage on WUSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. We'll have them back on the radio tomorrow. That'll be a noon start for Cardinal Baseball tomorrow, and then opening day coming up on April the 7th for the Redbirds, and we'll have every regular season game for you, all 162 of them, on WUSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9. And 92.9. High school baseball returns to the radio on Monday. Litchfield at North Mac. We'll have live coverage at 4:20 on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. And Sean, when I put the schedule together, I looked ahead at the weather. I was like, oh, it's going to be 65 on Monday. Subtract 20 from that now. Yeesh.
What do you do?
Bring a heavy jacket. That's what you do.
The weatherman giveth and taketh away.
He doesn't. Thankfully, the wind will be lying down. And there were a number of games today that got canceled because of the wetness. And then, frankly, because of the colder temperatures and the wind. You combine the dampness, the coolness, and the wind, Sean, and that's no good.
Yeah, and it's not a fun time to be up there as a batter.
Oh, boy.
When the pitcher's up there trying to get his grip with his frozen fingers.
Get into the kitchen as often as you can. Hey.
Yeah. Get that body armor out from the 90s.
We're happy to have on the phone with us right now Gillespie softball coach Michelle Smith. And, Michelle, this last week was not real conducive for what you guys wanted to do.
We were lucky to get in a game yesterday and Tuesday since we got to play on turf Tuesday. But the weather hasn't been cooperating much, for sure.
And, Michelle, as I have seen your box scores here, You got a young hurdler in Emma Gibson, and it's probably a name people need to write down.
Yeah, she's doing a great job for us. She's impressive. She had a great middle school career and been working hard to, you know, keep improving her skills. So, yeah, she's definitely one to watch for.
Well, Coach, I know your club's chewed through the early schedule, and I know it's nice to get a tough opponent in there. And I know when you take on somebody like an Edwardsville, that just has to build that hunger and reminds you that, okay, we can be better. We have to be better as you, you know, get ready to eventually move on past the regular season.
Yeah, we, you know, we always want to put some of those big schools on our schedule to, you know, give us a good, you know, point of reference to see what we need to work on. And, you know, we just have always been that way. And I always tell them a lot of those girls compete against those other kids in the summer and, you know, in the other sports. And, you know, I always tell them, you prepare the same way they do, and you just have to play, you know, play your best. But they definitely have a bigger pool of kids to, you know, choose from and pull from. And so obviously that plays into it a little bit. But, you know, it's good to see where you stand and what you need to work on. And I told them, you know, after our loss the other day that, you know, let's just, you know, we got to learn from it and see what we need to work on and get better. So I don't know that we played to our potential that day. You know, we made some errors that we normally don't, and, you know, but they definitely had, you know, a good pitcher throwing that day, and that's probably one of the best ones we'll see, I would assume, you know, throughout the season. So that's, you know, it's just something to look at and try to make adjustments to and moving forward.
You know, Michelle, I always joke with Carmel football coach Chad Easton about he's got some sort of secret stable somewhere on the high school grounds where he just pulls running backs out of year after year. Boy, that kid's fast. That kid's fast. That's a new kid. It's sort of the same deal with pitching at Gillespie. I mean, this is a long line of phenomenal pitching that Gillespie softball has had, and there's pressure that comes with it for sure. But the other side of that is the expectation, right? These young kids coming up as pitchers in Gillespie, they know what they want to be and what they're expected to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pitching is a different game. It takes a lot of time in the off season on all year round to really focus, and you really have to want to do it. You know, having talent is part of it, obviously, but work ethic is a huge part of it. And we've been very blessed, I'd say, in my 17 years to have you know, very good pitching. And so, and this year, you know, we have three girls, and, you know, Emma's a sophomore and Megan Rice a junior, and Macy Wright's a freshman and playing outfield for me right now mostly. But, you know, I'm not used to having that problem. We've had some pretty significantly, you know, good kids that have taken the reign, and just sometimes we've been had one pitcher.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that option. There's some good eighth grade kids coming in that are both pitchers, and so yeah, it's nice to keep that train rolling for sure. It makes it a lot easier.
Well, Coach, I know you have a pretty potent offense. Boy, they've racked up some numbers. I think the most difficult job in the program is the scorekeeper, because you go through, okay, that's hitter number 11 this inning. Now I've got to carry over the innings again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we graduated five seniors that, you know, put up some pretty good offensive numbers. So we were, you know, just we knew Emma would, you know, keep us in the game, and we wanted to, you know, just make sure that we could pick up it where we left off and, you know, get some run support for her. It makes it a whole lot easier for sure. And they've done a great job this year. Chloe Segura's really hitting the ball well, and Emma's hitting the ball well, and even Eve Kaduk, the junior, coming out of her shell, and Megan Rife kind of getting back into it. And, of course, Bussman with her speed is always, you know, we want her on base, and she finds a way to get on a lot of times. So, you know, early on, you know, we needed the bottom to produce, and they've really stepped up. And Delaney Taylor's a freshman, and, you know, Macy's, you know, getting in the groove, and Wrigley Relaford and Bella Segura yesterday hit a home run. And, of course, the wind was blowing out, and we teased her, and she said, I'd like to think it was all me. And I said, well, you know, she hit the ball hard, and it sailed yesterday. So that's good to see out of some of those younger kids, the sophomores and freshmen, contributing as well. So we were happy to see that the last couple of games, our bottom of our lineup really contributing as well.
You know, Michelle, you mentioned Reagan Bussman and Chloe Segura, and they were two kids that played, obviously, for you last year on that senior dominant club, but they were key cogs for you last year, but this year maybe more of a leadership role expected.
Yeah, for sure. Those two have really, you know, taken the reins and great attitudes, good kids, you know, again, work hard, we just want to play, you know, and it's been nice to see they've really stepped up and kind of taken that role without me really having to ask them to. So definitely very appreciative of that. And it does make it easier when they're younger and playing and then the seniors leave, they kind of just step into their place. So that's nice to see.
Well, Coach, I know we've talked about a lot this hour about pretty tough weather week, but good to see the weather break earlier this month and that the groundhog wasn't right, that we saw a little hint of spring and really get a productive string of games together. I know the first week or two you get the jitters. I mean, is it going to be in the 20s? Is it going to be monsoon weather? And just to get a good, healthy start to the season has to be nice.
Yeah, it is. You know, that we got kind of spoiled. Jim and I talked about the other day. I said, oh, this weather is terrible. And he said, you know, we got spoiled that first week. And we did. And there's been some first weeks like that when we're in shorts, which is rare. But, yeah, so hopefully the weather will break and we'll just kind of get in the groove. And obviously it helps keep everybody a little more loose than when you don't have multiple layers on and trying to stay warm in the dugout with all that wind. But the wind was our friend yesterday for sure and let us get that game in because it helped dry out the field quite a bit yesterday afternoon. So
you guys have a gorgeous softball field like this, but just a wonderful place to watch a ball game. And seemingly, though, every time I'm there, it's always been raining or wet, but I always love just sitting back and watching you guys work on the field. I don't want to work on it myself, but I really do enjoy watching you guys work on the field. You have a wonderful crew of folks that help you get that thing in supreme condition.
Yeah, I do. Joe Kelly and Jim Matisa have, you know, really helped me. It helps that they're both retired and they can, you know, spend time out there most of the day just busting it open and giving it time to dry and dragging it again and again and adding diamond dry when we need it. You know, Jeremy always says, you got Joe and Jim, you know, and it's super helpful. So when you're, you know, it's easy for me. I get to sit in my classroom and, you know, get text updates of or phone calls, you know, on a class break and see where we're at. So it definitely makes it easier on me, and I appreciate that a ton. So they've done a great job, and Joe's super particular. We tease him all the time if he's going to let me on the tractor or not. But, you know, it's great to have for sure, and they've done a great job. And the district's helped us out, you know, giving us a facility and allowing us to, you know, keep going and keeping it where it is and hopefully continuing to make it better.
And, Michelle, we'll get you out of here on this, but I know the middle school program, it is parent-funded, and you guys got an event coming up.
Yeah, April 23rd, we're having a golf tournament, finally. We've got, you know, pushed back several times due to COVID. So we're going to hopefully, fingers crossed, the weather holds out and we get to have a great golf tournament. It's going to be at Timber Lakes in Staunton. And I know they've gotten several whole sponsors already through the several community businesses and people in our community, which has been awesome. Everyone's been great and wonderfully supportive. So, yeah, come on out. It's April 23rd. It's $300 per team, so $100 a person for a three-man scramble, and that's at Timber Lakes. And so you can we have a Facebook page, and you know, if you need to get a hold of me, or I can pass you along. Shannon Wright's been a huge help with getting that all the paperwork and stuff sorted out for that, and Larry Schweppe's been a big help with that, helping me out too to get that going and provide some prize money for those serious golfers out there.
It'll be a great day as long as you keep Carla Rae Fesser away from the golf carts.
Yeah, right. Well, I think maybe he'll be helping Jeremy that day with, I don't know.
Michelle, always great to talk to you. Good luck this year with the Miners. We look forward to following you.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Michelle Smith, the head coach for Gillespie Softball. And Sean, there's certain things that just make you feel old. Michelle's been the softball coach at Gillespie for 17 years.
Wow.
And what a job
time flies, doesn't it?
Oh, boy. Yeah, she's done a
phenomenal job. How about that Reed Detmers, by the way?
What was that?
How about that Detmers? I'll tell you what, I think he may just find himself on the roster.
He might have a chance.
Oh, I'm telling you, he had that those numbers, boy. I watched a little bit of that start he had last weekend. What was it? Racked up five Ks and just looking good. And I think Joe Madden's in his corner. So,
well, that always helps. And you could see at the end of last year, it's like he's starting to find himself, getting his footing a little bit. And yeah, Reed is primed for a big year, it seems.
Looking forward to it. Makes you a little more excited about baseball.
It does. Hey, before we get out of here, of course, we have the Cardinals coming up at 11:55 this morning, AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. And I think, Sean, as we get into maybe a Jennifer gripe here, I think Jennifer might actually, believe it or not, be happy with the Cardinals right
now. Yeah, they're 5-1.
There you go.
I know it's only spring training. Records don't matter, but, boy, what a start.
The record
keep
mattered
it going.
To Jen very much.
That's right. As long as we're on the winning end.
Sign of the end times.
And that's exactly right. And of course,
she's happy with the Cardinals.
That can't be good. What are these winds blowing in? Jen is happy with the Cardinals. Oh boy. Oh boy.
Just glad to have him back on the radio.
Absolutely. We'll have him 11:55 this morning, AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. We want to thank Connor White, Litchfield baseball coach, Hillsborough girls soccer coach Dave Mattson, and Gillespie softball coach Michelle Smith for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. And Sean, your bracket is busted up, but I still got my champion Dukies alive. I'm not going to say anything more because I'm very superstitious and I don't want to jinx them.
I was trying to do the math. I think there's some commonality too in some of our picks, so you've got a pretty good road.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Hey, this is it for Sports Saturday in March. How about that? We'll have baseball on the radio Monday, Litchfield at North Mac, live at 420, right here on WQSMI FM 106. For Jennifer Graham and Sean Belent, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done on WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.